Radio, television, and film do a lot to shape our perception of things far from our everyday experience. This means that, for most of us, most of what we know about Africa comes through mass media. Not a terrible thing, maybe, but think about the kind of things you know about Africa, and the kinds of things you don't know. Chrissy Coxon and Stephanie Garcia began to wonder about what the mass media tells us and doesn't tell us about Africa.
Africa, the heart of darkness, a mysterious place, carpeted in heavy jungle and dense savanna grasses. It moves to a thunderous beat of drums and battle cries. Its people are strong, simple, and completely foreign. They are racked by famine, disease, and conflict. Their way of life is utterly incomparable to our own, right? When you hear the word Africa, what do you think of?
Said genocide is occurring in Darfur.
In Central Africa this weekend, more than 180 people were massacred at a United Nations refugee camp in Burundi.
In Ivory Coast, government forces today launched an offensive against rebel troops who have occupied much of the north of the country since last month's failed coup attempt.
Today, on the continent of Africa, nearly 30 million people have the AIDS virus.
High death rates, ethnic tensions, and a locust infestation.
These headlines fail to portray the full reality of Africa. Mario Mendez and Fermi Okunlami are both students from Africa, currently studying at Stanford University. They discuss their feelings on American perceptions of Africa.
My name is Mario Mendez, from Angola, Southwest Africa. So, just the term Africa is very general. Because Africa, it is a continent, contrary to some people believe. It is a continent, and like people have different cultures and different societies and all of that.
I'm Fermi Okunlami. I'm from Nigeria, which, for those of you that don't know, is in Western Africa. It's like in the Ivory Coast area. When you see Africa in National Geographic and things like that, obviously there are places in Africa that are jungle and that are very, very rural and that have not been developed. There are also places in Africa that are very developed. Maybe not to the same extent that the United States is, but more so than some people think. Because, some people think there's just a bunch of huts and mud, thatched huts, roof all over the place, or people running around with loin cloths jumping on elephants, and that's not what it's like.
Why do so many Americans cling to the notion of a savage, uncivilized Africa? Today, are we getting the wrong information? Or just not enough information?
So how do you feel about representations of Africa in the U.S. media?
I think they only show the bad stuff. It's very, they only go into, a certain perspective, and I think that's not really fair, because there are other things to Africa than just, the violence that goes on, but I guess they're, only interested in what can go bad instead of things that go right. At least from, my experience, I just think that it's a lot more than just wars and, starving people. You know, it's you have culture, music, and, food, all that stuff that it can, that it's really interesting, and all it takes is for people to have an open mind so they could see it and appreciate it.
Bill Heath is a host for Africa Today, a radio program broadcast on KPFA in Northern California. The program focuses on a different issue related to Africa during each 30-minute segment. Bill talks about the imbalance of Africa coverage in the U.S. media and why he chooses radio as a medium to address that problem.
There are lots of stories that could be focused on Africa in terms of non-disaster stories. The problem, I think, is, especially again with the television media, is that the problem is it's not good pictures. War is great pictures. But when you're trying to flush out information regarding just sustainable development, it's generally for talking heads. And now I'm happy that, again, the news is out there. but it's unfortunate that's the only type of news that is out there. It would be most appreciative when the mainstream media in particular can start focusing on other issues with Africa.
It's a familiar story, right? We hear it in our media all the time. Africa is troubled. Africa is fighting. 77% of people living in sub-Saharan Africa survive on less than $2 per day. All of this is true. The problems really do exist. Poverty has created a fundamental development barrier. Africa really does need help. Jeremy Weinstein is an assistant professor of political science at Stanford University, who specializes in the political economy of development in Africa. He explains,
Africa is, I think, one of the most fundamental and pressing moral concerns for people in the world today. The idea that close to a billion people can live at a standard of living that is so significantly below anything experienced in the developed world and much of the developing world for that matter, afflicted by disease without any defenses against epidemics, living in the midst of violence. This is something that with our wealth, our prosperity, our technological know-how is something that Americans and more broadly people across the globe should be concerned about addressing.
But how can we translate that concern into effective action? How can we enlist aid without stripping Africans of their autonomy? People who spend their lives working for Africa recognize this difficulty. Matt and Laura Chico completed a cross-country trek from Washington, D.C. to San Francisco in order to raise money and awareness for issues affecting Africa. For 3,942 miles, Matt ran and Laura biked, and together they raised $40,000 for the Red Cross Measles Initiative and the Rwandan Friends Peace House. Their success is a result of daily conversations about Africa with the random Americans they encountered along the way.
People were really, for the most part, very receptive and interested in what we were doing. I think a number of people just thought, well, if they're running and riding across the country, then it must be a good cause, because they couldn't understand what would make two people do this. So they were immediately engaged.
But getting Americans engaged wasn't the only challenge. For Laura, just figuring out how to talk about Africa was hard.
Because of the skewed media sort of portrayals of Africa, I always felt like I was treading a line when I would tell people that we encountered on our cross-country trip about what we were doing. Because talking about the violence and the poor health in Africa kind of felt like I was reinforcing people's images that were very superficial and filled with stereotypes. And what I wanted to do was focus on the positive things that people were doing, you know? But it was really tricky, and sometimes I felt like I didn't walk that line that well, because people would then kind of latch on to the more negative things and often shake their heads sort of in a compassionate pity kind of reaction, which was from a good place in folks' hearts, but wasn't really what I wanted to evoke. You know, I wanted to evoke a respect for what people were doing there.
Anyone who tries to talk about Africa walks the same line that Laura describes. With a constant flow of negative information from the media, negative stereotypes are tough to break. Any effort to combat this overwhelming trend requires two steps: eradicating stereotypes and providing positive information. Jennifer Kurz is an associate for outreach and mobilization at Interaction, the Washington, D.C.-based American Council for Voluntary International Action. She recommends a third step in this process: to show Americans that there are ways for them to contribute to progress.
It's not enough to show pictures of starving people without explaining, here's what you can do, because otherwise I think Americans just simply get overwhelmed by the amount of bad news they hear from overseas. With our world coming closer together, there are opportunities to really help people in other places. And so it's just really a matter of explaining what those opportunities are, whether it's fundraising or calling your senator or congress member. And if we can do that and really show Americans that if they do engage, it will make a difference, then what I have found is that the reaction is absolutely amazing, and they want to do more than I had ever expected.
This three-step approach focuses on adults who have already been flooded with a constant stream of negative information from the media all their lives. By adulthood, most Americans have already decided what issues and areas they will invest themselves in. America needs more. A way to expand the worldview of our society from an early age. Professor Jeremy Weinstein addresses this need.
How do we start teaching about Africa early? But we need to be doing this in our elementary schools, in our middle schools, in our high schools. And it's not just Africa, right? I mean, we need to be talking about Afghanistan. We need to be talking about the Arab world. And we just don't have a social studies and history curriculum in middle and high schools that really teaches about the rest of the world. As the world becomes more globalized, we need to generate global citizens at an early age.
As a step towards creating these global citizens, Weinstein emphasizes a complete understanding. He describes the view of Africa that he presents to his students.
First, I want students to understand the diversity of the African continent. If you think about the way Africa is typically discussed in the United States, it's Africa is a country with a lot of problems, right? That was a quote that President Bush made at the beginning of his first administration. Africa does indeed have a lot of problems, but it's a lot of countries with a lot of different types of problems. And there are places and examples of progress. Uganda and Mozambique have grown faster in the last 10 years than almost any other country in the world. Mali and Senegal have made strides towards democratic change. South Africa has rewritten its constitution in a much more inclusive and equitable way than almost any other constitution in the world. And those stories of progressive change and hope are often lost.
Africa is a continent endowed with a rich history, diverse cultures, and the same potential for change found all around the world. If America can begin to teach its children to recognize the dignity of Africa, will it not contribute to America's dignity as well? We know that citizens of Africa are suffering from an unjust portrayal of their homes and families. We know our media creates lasting impressions in the minds of our society by presenting issues within certain frameworks and never challenging us to think beyond that. We know that, even for change to take place on a personal level, usually requires extraordinary and extreme action by a few devoted people. We know that we must introduce a global approach in our schools to create new advocates and not new opponents of this globalizing trend. So what would a curriculum that generates global citizens actually look like? It would emphasize paying attention to Africa coverage in the mainstream media and actively critiquing that coverage in a classroom setting. To truly understand the problems of Africa and their causes, we must break down stereotypes by being aware of where they come from. We must show our children the good aspects of Africa, highlighting the culture and progress that aren't portrayed in the 6 o'clock news, like successful democratization, economic growth, cultural perspectives, and success of non-governmental organizations. Our education should extend beyond national borders. A line on a map shouldn't be the limit of our understanding. Come together.